Our scripture reading this morning comes from Luke 14. Luke 14, the verses 12 through 24, the parable of the great banquet. And you can find that scripture reading on the insert in your bulletins on the back of the outline. I have placed it there in the English Standard Version from which I will be reading. Luke 14, the verses 12 through 24. Let us pay careful attention to the public reading of God's holy, infallible, and inerrant word. He said also to the man who had invited him, "When you give a dinner or a banquet, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, lest they also invite you in return and you be repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the just." When one of those who reclined at table with him heard these things, he said to him, "Blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God." But he said to him, "A man once gave a great banquet and invited many. And at the time for the banquet, he sent his servant to say to those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said to him, 'I've bought a field and I must go out and see it. Please have me excused.' Another said, 'I have bought 5 yoke of oxen and I go to examine them. Please have me excused.' And another said, 'I have married a wife and therefore I cannot come.' So the servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house became angry and said to his servant, 'Go out quickly to the streets and lanes of the city. Bring in the poor and the crippled and the blind and the lame.' The servant said, 'Sir, what you commanded has been done, and still there is room.' The master said to the servant, 'Go out to the highways and hedges and compel people to come in, that my house may be filled. For I tell you, none of those men who were invited shall taste my banquet.'" Thus the reading of God's word this morning, as we find it in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 14. I encourage you to follow along with that outline there that I've put in your bulletins. Well, congregation of our Lord Jesus, in New Testament times, they also had their red carpet banquets. As we see so often today in the lifestyles of the rich and famous, the people today have their red carpet parties and banquets. Photographers gather outside of the awards ceremony or banquet to wait for a chance to photograph the rich and famous as they exit their vehicles. Everyone wants to know what the stars are wearing, what car they are driving, who they have come with, and who they have the most honored seat at the event or the banquet to be attended. To be invited to attend is a confirmation before the peers that surround you that you are a member of the world's social elite. Well, believe it or not, they had similar events in Jesus' day. It was important for the rich and famous, even the religious rich and famous, for these religious and famous families to keep and proclaim their social status by from time to time hosting a formal dinner or banquet. As you can imagine, the guest list, even in those days, was very important to attend these dinners. And one way to confirm your social elite status was from time to time invite many distinguished guests to a formal dinner party. And then they would reciprocate by inviting you as well. One way for a family to attend and invite people to its banquet would be to have famous friends, famous or important family members, rich neighbors, so that others could see they all attended your dinner. One such dinner is taking place in our text today. As we mentioned in our previous sermon, this banquet is taking place at a Pharisee's house. This ruler of the Pharisees is hosting this dinner in his home in verse 1, and he has invited the rich and famous Pharisees of his day. It is a matter of social status to be invited, a matter of who are the religious elite that are seated in the important positions, and yes, as they've arrived on the red carpet, they have elbowed their way to the important seats and the head table. No doubt, the entertainment was going to be Jesus. In the first couple of verses of chapter 14, we see that they have invited Jesus. And in verse 1 at the end, they're watching him very carefully. They have invited also a man with dropsy, certainly a man who in his illness would not be normally included in an invitation at one of these dinners. But it is the Sabbath day. They are aware of Jesus and his ministry. They've invited Jesus to the dinner, and they've put a man with dropsy in their midst to watch Jesus carefully to see if this is the day, this is the banquet, this is the dinner where Jesus will heal on the Sabbath. A man with dropsy is in a serious condition. His stomach is filled with fluid. His chest cavity is swollen up with fluids, and likely people with dropsy were terminally ill. But as Jesus comes to this man, we're told in verse 4 that he heals him. He takes him, he heals him, and he sends him away. And in healing him on the Sabbath, Jesus follows this healing with two questions which has left the wedding banquet or the people at that dinner invitation silent. Jesus tells them then the parable of the wedding banquet. He warns them that they who have elbowed their way to the front of the room, they have tried to be seen with people. They've tried to gather attention for themselves and establish themselves as the elite, the religious elite in their neighborhood, in their region. Yet Jesus tells them, in the banquet of heaven, in the wedding feast of heaven, don't fight for the highest position, but take the lowest place and wait for the host, Jesus Christ, God's Son, to come to you and say, friend, move higher. The person in this parable who understands that they're a sinner, that they're unworthy to be there, like this man with dropsy, is the one that Jesus, the host, can help and can save. And so flowing out of this introduction, Jesus goes on then with two more parables, a parable in particular addressing a greater banquet, which is his focus. First, we are told in verse 12 that Jesus turns to the Pharisee who had invited him to his house. Now, remember who he's looking at. He's told the parable, first of all, in verse 7, to all those who were invited, the parable of the wedding feast. But now, after he's told that parable, he turns to the man, the Pharisee, who had invited him to this banquet, to this dinner, and he gives him instructions about invitations. When you give a dinner or a banquet, Jesus says, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or your rich neighbors, lest they also invite you in return and be repaid. Notice how aware Jesus is of what's going on. He knows the cultural elite, the rich and famous of his day. He knows about these dinners and the social status which was established because you had invited certain people to your dinner. And by inviting friends and relatives, you established their honor as well. By inviting your rich neighbors, you established your position in the community and in your neighborhood. By inviting religious and wealthy friends from Jerusalem itself, again, you've established yourself by their accepting your invitation as an elite person and a person of social status. But Jesus, you see, turns to this man who has done the inviting, and he gives him instructions on who he should invite. His instructions that Jesus gives are flowing out of a banquet not of this earth, but a banquet that is found in heaven. Jesus has stated, don't invite those who can repay you. Don't invite those who you seek to establish something from them in terms of your own elite status. Don't invite those who lift you up in their attendance. But when you host a dinner or a banquet, what does Jesus say? Look how he goes on in verse 13. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind. Now think what Jesus is asking here. Think about what it would mean in our red carpet banquets that we have today. There we are outside of the Oscars where the red carpet and everybody is waiting for the guests to attend, and they're looking for the stars and who they're with and who they're photographed with and what they're wearing so they can talk about it on the news shows the next day. And here comes a poor person dressed poorly in smelly clothes. Here comes a lame person, a person who can't see. They're shoved in the background. They're deemed as not important. The kind of person who knows that he doesn't belong in a place like that. And Jesus tells the Pharisee, that's who you should invite. When you give a feast, invite people who cannot repay you for what you've done. Invite people who don't think they deserve to be there. Invite a poor person, a crippled, a lame, the blind, people who aren't considered in your day as the social elite. Invite them, and what does Jesus say in verse 14? Then you will be blessed because they cannot repay you. But what should be your focus in heaven's banquet? For you, he tells them at the end of verse 14, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the just. Jesus has put this dinner and the invitations to dinner in the context of a heavenly focus. Jesus is letting the inviter know that you want to invite people to heaven's banquet who know they don't deserve to be there, who come humbly, who don't come because they can do something for you or they have done something to deserve or find their place at that dinner. You invite people who know they don't belong there, who come humbly to that place. And you invite them and will be blessed because your focus for repayment is not them, but the resurrection of the just is your blessing. But now, just to be sure that those in attendance don't go down the road of the social gospel, to be sure that the man who has invited people to his home and all the listeners who are listening to Jesus speak to him don't go down the road of saying, well, to be saved, we have to be kind to the poor, the lame, and those of society who are less well. And if we're kind to them and invite them and do good things for them, then we will have eternal life and be raised on the day of justification. To be sure that the social gospel is not what's proclaimed. Jesus goes on in the next verses to tell a parable which speaks of the great banquet of God and of heaven itself. Now notice as Jesus goes on in this parable that there is a particular bracketing of the parable itself. And the bracketing indicates for us a contrast that Jesus wants us to see. In verse 15, we're told that there's another man seated at the table in that Pharisee's home, and reclining at the table with Jesus, he's heard Jesus say these things to the Pharisee who had invited Jesus and all the others to his home. And when he hears Jesus speak about who to invite, he makes a statement for all at the table to hear. Blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God. Now notice what he is assuming. This man reclined at the table is saying in a rather straightforward statement, blessed are all those, Jesus, who will eat bread in the kingdom of God. In other words, what are we doing at this dinner? We are gathered together as the social elite, the religious social elite of Jerusalem. We are the Pharisees, the most godly Pharisees. And we're gathered in this home and having a dinner together. And yes, it's true, the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind are not with us, but they don't deserve to be here because they suffer those ailments because of their sin. But all those gathered at this table, Jesus, considered the social elite of Jerusalem and of Judaism and of all the Pharisaic teaching, blessed are they who will eat bread in the kingdom of God. We're doing it now, we'll do it then. But you see, in verse 24, the last verse, Jesus contrasts the statement of this man. For I tell you, Jesus says, none of those men who were invited shall taste my banquet. In the parable, Jesus is speaking about those who are invited to heaven's banquet, to God's banquet. And the man at the beginning of the story is stating, well, look, if you belong to this club, if you have reached this status, then this banquet is yours. And if you eat of this bread, you'll eat in the kingdom of God because you belong. You're in the in group, the elite class. And Jesus at the end is contrasting his statement. Not everyone who is invited shall taste my banquet. Notice the contrast in the words. The man at the beginning speaks of the bread of the kingdom of God. And who is the bread of life? We know the bread of life is Jesus Christ, God's Son. At the end, Jesus says, not everyone will taste my banquet. Who is it that Jesus is speaking of that will not taste the banquet? Someone who has been invited but will not taste. Jesus describes it in a parable beginning at verse 16. But Jesus said to this man, a man once gave a great banquet and invited many. Now, we know, of course, in this parable that the man that Jesus has in mind in this parable, the one he is speaking of, is God Himself. God Himself is giving a great banquet, and this is the great banquet of the salvation of God. People who are sinners and in need of salvation. And God is giving a great banquet of celebration, a banquet of salvation, and He has invited many. Verse 17, and at that time for the banquet, he sent his servants to say to those who had been invited, come, for everything is ready. Now keep in mind the flow of the structure. We have the banquet, it's the banquet of God. God has invited many, and now the time for the banquet has come, and people who have been invited, you see, have already accepted the invitation that they're going to come. But now the banquet is ready, and the servant goes to say to those who were invited, "Come, for everything is now ready." Now, are you following the flow of this text in the context of this dinner that is taking place? We have these Pharisees, you see, who have been given the promise of Abraham, the promises of the Old Testament through the law of Moses, and they have come to understand that as Jews, as sons and daughters of Abraham, they are part of the covenant plan of God, that they are invited to the banquet, to the celebration of the salvation of God. And in the midst of their dinner, which has the wrong focus, their dinner, which is all about the socially elite, there's a man with dropsy. A man terminally ill. A man who represents someone who is a sinner and unable to save himself. He is terminally, by his sin, worthy of death. And in the midst of their dinner, in the midst of their watching Jesus to see what he will do, they see exactly what he does and exactly what he has come to do. He goes to the man and he takes him, we're told. He touches him. He takes his sin, his illness upon himself as he will take it upon the cross when he dies on the cross and pays for the man's sin. He heals the man and he sends him on his way. That is the salvation of God that in the midst of this dinner they have all seen and witnessed before their very eyes. And God has sent his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, his servant, and he is letting them know. He is letting the covenant community know, sons of Abraham, he is letting them know that the banquet is ready. The salvation of God has come through his Son, Jesus Christ. And in the parable, how do they respond? Verse 18, but they all alike began to make excuses. The first said to him, "Well, I've bought a field and I must go out and see it. Please have me excused." And another said, verse 19, "I bought 5 yoke of oxen and I go to examine them. Please have me excused." And another said, "Well, I've married a wife and therefore I cannot come." Now, all of these things, all of these excuses are not bad in themselves. There's nothing wrong with buying a piece of property. There's nothing wrong with buying a team of oxen, 3 yoke of oxen, or 5 yoke of oxen, making 10 oxen that you can use and you can go about and farm and do the things that you need to do in this world. There's nothing wrong, as we all know, for wanting to have a family, to get married, and to live together as husband and wife here in this world. But there is something wrong in the excuses that are given. In their excuses, you see, they have determined that they have something else that is more important to them than the salvation of God. It is more important to them for their land, because with their land, they can build up their social status with more wealth and income. It is more important to be able to say, "I've got 5 yoke of oxen at home that I use for my business to increase my social status in this world. If I marry into the right family, well, then I can be considered part of the religious elite." And do you see the problems with their priorities? Instead of recognizing, you see, the salvation of God that has come in Jesus Christ, instead of recognizing what a great salvation that has come in Jesus Christ, this man with dropsy, He's been delivered from his sins. He's come to be healed of his sins that he was headed towards hell. He now is part of the banquet of God, having been healed of his illness before them all for them to see. But they really aren't interested. They've been invited. They have indicated that when the salvation of God comes, they want to be part of it. But now that it's come, it's not a priority. Well, I've got other things to do. I've got a piece of land, you know, and that salvation will still be there later. You know, I've got 5 new oxen that I got to work and I got to train them. And, you know, it's busy. I got things to do, but, you know, the salvation will still be there later. You know, I'm okay. I'm a Pharisee. I'm part of the covenant family of God. I'm part of a church. I go to church and I go on a semi-regular basis. But, you know, there's other things. There's family commitments I've got to go to. There's things like that. And I know it's busy. And, you know, that salvation is still there. But, you know, I just don't have time for it right now. I'll get to it later. Well, the servant, we're told, comes and reports these things to his master in verse 21. And we're told that the master of the house becomes angry. Now, those who've written about this parable have looked at this verse which says, well, they became angry, the man became angry, so if the master's angry, that can't be God. That God can't be the one who's angry in this parable. He cannot be the master because God doesn't get angry like that. We know he's patient with people, you see? And so it can't be God. But you see, the master in this parable is God. And God gets angry. When God sees the salvation that has been sent to his people, and he sees that they aren't interested in it, that it's not a priority, that the great cost that it was for him to send his son to die on the cross and to provide that salvation, and that's not a priority in their life, that doesn't mean more to them until they can make all kinds of excuses and think it can come until later, then God becomes angry. He becomes angry at those covenant people who think that they've already earned it by their position, by their status, by their covenant status. He becomes angry at people who aren't grateful and realize what a great cost it was for God to send his son to bring about that salvation. And you know what? God doesn't wait for them to finish their business. God doesn't say, well, you know, they've been so good people, and you know, they've got these other things going on. They got their new oxen, they got their new field they're taking care of, and they want to get married, and they've got family priorities, and these things are just so important and really important, so I'll hold off the banquet. I'll hold off the banquet until they're finished with all these things. And then when they're ready in their time, then I'll have the banquet and everybody can come and be part of it. Doesn't happen in the parable, does it? Instead, when the servant comes back and he tells them, well, look, these people aren't coming. They've got all excuses. They've said they're coming. They've indicated it. They've seen the salvation of God that has come. And they got all kinds of other things to do. And we're told that God, you see, becomes angry. And he said to his servant, go out quickly to the streets and the lanes of the city and bring in who? You see it? Look in the verse. See it. bring in the poor and the cripple and the blind and the lame. You've seen those words before, haven't you? You saw it in the previous story, in the story about the invitations. Who is it that is invited to the kingdom of God and the great banquet of the salvation of God? Who are those who Jesus tells the man who has invited him to his dinner that he should be inviting to a banquet which anticipates the kingdom of God? He tells them, invite those who know they don't belong there. Invite those who are lame. Invite those who are crippled. Invite the blind and the poor. Those who would think as they came to that banquet, they got no business being there. Those standing outside as the stars are coming in on the red carpet and are saying to themselves, I don't belong here. My picture shouldn't be taken. I don't deserve to be here. Who wants to look at me? And it's those people who come there by only one reason. The Savior has brought them there. They are there not to be repaid. They are not there because they've done something to deserve to be there. They are there. They don't take it or treat it with excuses because they know that there's no way they would be there were it not for the grace and the salvation of Jesus Christ. It is people like the man with dropsy, who had no hope, and he understood he had no hope because he was lost in his sin, unable to do anything to please God. And Christ, Jesus Christ, took hold of him and grabbed him and took his sin upon him and died on the cross to pay for his sin. And now he's been saved and delivered, and he is so grateful for that salvation of God and the banquet that has been thrown. And God said to his servants, go quickly to the streets and the lanes of the city and bring them. Bring them. Bring the poor and the crippled, the blind and the lame. And the servant does it. And he says, sir, what you have commanded has been done. And yet there is still room. And then look what God says. And the master said to the servant, go out to the highways and the hedges and compel people to come in that my house may be filled. We have those, you see, who were part of the covenant community, who were given an invitation. They were told about the promises of the salvation of God that was coming. They said, when that salvation comes, we're going to come and accept it. But then the salvation comes, and they got other things to do. They've got all kinds of excuses. They're caught up in themselves and building up themselves so that they can prepare themselves to attend God's formal banquet. But now the invitation, you see, because God doesn't wait. God instead is angry. He sends the invitation to people who know they don't deserve it. He sends the invitation to people, part of the people of the same city, of the same covenant community, who don't deserve it and understand the salvation of God and why they need it and how they have no hope without it. And then he offers it further. To those on the highways and hedges, most commentators say, this is the Gentiles. Those on the highways and hedges, commentators understand Luke and the writer Luke and how he writes the book of Acts and speaks about the Gentiles going to the ends of the earth. The gospel has gone from Jerusalem to the very ends of the earth. And what does it say? Go to the highways and hedges and compel people. Compel people. They don't have any understanding of salvation of God. They don't understand the covenant and what that all means and the plan of God. And now you're taking those Gentiles and compelling them by the Spirit of God's irresistible grace. They can't fight it. They're compelled because the Spirit is calling them, because Christ is calling them unto salvation. They have been compelled to come in that God's house may be filled with Jew and Gentile, filled with people who clearly understand that they're not there because they deserved it. They're not saved and brought into God's banquet because of their status and who they are and where they were born. But they're there only by the grace of God, which has come to them through their Son, through His Son, Jesus Christ, who has taken them in their sinful condition and has grabbed hold, like the man with dropsy, and taken their sin upon Himself and paid for it on the cross for the salvation of God. And yet, how many don't recognize the invitation? Remember the contrast that's being made in this parable. When the one who reclined at the table heard him say these things in verse 16, blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God. Well, I'm a member of a church, and I'm okay with the Lord. I've done all the things I need to do, and so I'm doing all right, you know. And, you know, there's things in I got to take care of. I got my land. I got my oxen. I've got a family, and family matters are important. The Lord will be there. The salvation will be there. It's there yet. It's there. But what does Jesus say in that last verse? For I tell you, none of those men who were invited will taste my banquet. They haven't tasted it when it came to them because they didn't think that they needed it. They didn't think they needed to taste the grace of God that can only come through Jesus Christ. They thought they were already there. And because they hadn't tasted it while on earth, on the day that the banquet reaches its fullness, they won't taste it then as well. Do you see who is in attendance at heaven's banquet? In God's banquet, there is no red carpet. There are no pictures outside with the stars. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what you have done. All that matters is that you know your inability and that you don't deserve to be there and that you can do nothing to repay. God sent the Son of Man, His Son Jesus Christ, to bring you there. And He put you there. He was rejected by the world. Rejected by God on the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? The wrath for your sin fell upon Him outside of the city. The reason you're there is because He has compelled you to be there by His Spirit. He saw you in your sin. He took hold of you. He healed you. And He brought you in to the banquet. Have you come to the banquet? Those that understand their inability and what Christ has done for them are at the banquet. But how easy it is, like those in Jesus' parable, to assume. The invitation has been given. The banquet is before you. But all kinds of excuses. My land. My oxen. My wife. Good things. But Jesus is asking today, where are your priorities. God's banquet is ready. He's not going to wait for you to be ready. Ready or not, the banquet will go on without you. Are you of those invited? Who shall taste of my banquet? Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you this morning for this parable, which reminds us, Lord, of our priorities. Father, as we are reminded of the man with dropsy, healed from his sin and given salvation, what a glorious day it is for all those who have come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and who know it through their inability and unworthiness to be there. And yet, Lord, it is so easy for us to make other priorities in life, to know the salvation is there, but have other things that are more important right now. Help us, O God, to always come as the lame and the blind and the poor and those with dropsy. In our hearts, may we always be grateful. May we always see our unworthiness. May we taste of that banquet, not just on the day of salvation, but every day, so that in heaven we may enjoy its fullness. Grant us your grace to live this way, to know this way, to respond to your call. We pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.